This is what we've waited for, the showdown.
The fastest men in the world are here in Berlin. It's packed full of talent, no matter where you look.
All of the swaggering and stops.
Usain Bolt, number one.
Who will come out on top? Who'll take the gold? Who'll take the title? The world 100 meter final. Powerful, strong, compact.
Extremely powerful and very, very quick.
Oh my goodness gracious me. Oh, if that is a sign of things to come in the final, we could be in for something very special indeed.
Ready.
We can now look forward to a final which is going to be absolutely fascinating.
There he stands, 6'5", but his stature is such that he is a colossus over the world of athletics. Bolt versus Gay. 5 years between them. One's a world champion, one's an Olympic champion. Just 800th of a second between their personal bests, less between their seasons. Usain Bolt. 40 strides he takes.
Yes,
he'll reach speeds in excess of 40 kilometers an hour.
I'm ready.
And unless ready, somebody's got something very special up their sleeve, he will be ready, as he suggests, to take the gold medal, I'm sure. Tyson Gay, the defending champion. The bolt is loaded. The world 100 meter final.
Set.
They get away first time. Tyson Gay right alongside Usain Bolt, but here he goes, streaking away already. It's Bolt all the way. He's looking round at Gay. Watch the clock. It's gold for Bolt. And again, he's done it again.
Welcome to Health Tips, episode number 31 by Atharva Web Radio. This time, we are excited. I mean really, really excited. On our show today is the fastest man on earth. You guessed it, Usain Bolt. Usain was in India on a promotional tour for Puma, who recently launched a new technologically enhanced shoe for the extreme sports person, and Health Tips got to meet him. A little bit about Usain. Usain was born on 21st August 1986, a Jamaican sprinter. He's widely regarded as the fastest person ever. He's the first man to hold both the 100 meters and the 200 meters world records since the fully automatic time measurement became mandatory in 1977. Along with his teammates, he also set the world record in the 4 into 100 meters relay. He's the reigning Olympic champion in these three events and the first man to win 6 Olympic gold medals in sprinting and an 8-time world champion. He was the first to achieve a double-double by winning the 100 meters and the 200 meter titles at consecutive Olympics, and topped this through the first double-triple, including the 4 into 100 meter relays. Bolt's achievements in sprinting have earned him the media nickname Lightning Bolt, and awards include the IAAF World Athlete of the Year, the Track and Field Athlete of the Year, and the Laureus World Sportsman of the Year 3 times. He is the highest paid athlete ever in track and field. He's been called the world's most marketable athlete. By winning 3 gold medals at 2013 World Olympics, Bolt became one of the most successful athletes in the 30-year history of the Athletic World Championships. People, we present to you our interaction with Usain Bolt.
All right, Usain, let's talk about you and your record-breaking ways. Your 100-meter record has now stood for an unprecedented 5 years. Why do you think your record from Berlin has stood for so long?
Well, it's
It's pretty much out of reach. I think I'll put it at a higher standard. As an athlete, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, as an athlete, over the years, I've watched world records go and go. And they've always been broken by 200 of a second and stuff like that. So for me, when you start breaking records and you start breaking it by tenths, 100 of a second, it starts pushing the barriers for the athletes. If you want to be great, you got to work harder to get there. So for me, that's what I live by. I want to push barriers. So if you want to be as great as me, you got to work extra hard to get there. That's the way I look at things. So that's why my record has stuck that long. And I think it's going to stay there for a while.
The first time you broke a record, what were you thinking? You're like, yeah! Or you're like, whoa, really? Where did that come from?
Yeah, actually, my first world record was in New York. It was my first time running a 100 meter against Tyson Gay. And for me, going to the race, it was all about the competition, because I live for competition. I like to compete against the best. So when I went there, I was thinking about world records. All I wanted to do was to win. And I remember after I won, I was celebrating. And I was on the back stretch, and I heard the announcer said, oh, it's a new world record. And I'm like, what? I wasn't sure. So for me, it caught me off guard, but I was proud and I did well.
Which of the two records is the one that you think you can most challenge looking ahead?
The 200 meters, definitely. I think there's room for improvement over the years. I think it's a lot more technical, and I think there's room for improvement. So in the upcoming years, I'm going to really work towards trying to run faster over 200 meters. And I think while pushing myself over 200 meters, it will help me to attack 100 meters also.
Let's talk about Beijing when you won. There's that fantastic, memorable image, almost iconic now. You kissing your gold Puma spikes. Where are those spikes now?
Not gonna tell you.
Oh, come on.
I feel you're up to something.
No, I'm just a very nosy presenter.
Next thing I tell you, they write in the paper, then we have people trying to break into the spot. I don't want that.
For security reasons, we'll move on.
Exactly.
I understand
security
your point.
Reasons.
Let's talk about your favorite race memory. Is there one that really stands out in your mind?
Surprisingly, a lot of people would think it was when I was professional, I would pick one of those races, but the greatest race memory for me was when I was 15, running the World Juniors in front of my home crowd in Jamaica when I won. For me, that was one of the greatest times of my life. It was wonderful, the energy was different, so that's my greatest race moment ever.
That's pretty special. 15 years old, still young, still hungry. And you still remember that, given all that you've done?
I'm still young.
You're still young, I beg your pardon, super young. I don't know, 30's just around the corner.
This is Hafid Gulan.
This is N.K. Azoya.
Hi, I'm Galash Chandra.
This is Tara McAlpin.
This is Mehel Castellinos.
This is Saver Joe.
And you're listening to Atarva.
Tarva.
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 Web radio. Chumi.
Brought to you by Atharva Life Sciences Consulting, India's leading life sciences consulting firm.
Let's talk about this story. Your coach, Glenn Mills, he got mad at you in Beijing. He knew you could run faster during that 100-meter race. Talk to us about that relationship. Is it father-son? Does he really annoy you sometimes, but it's a great annoying?
No, it's not annoying. My coach always wants me to do my best. And for me, when he was saying, why didn't you run through the line? I was like, listen, I saw I was going to win, and I was just happy. I was just really happy. I wasn't thinking about anything else. I was just really happy because I'd worked so hard through the season to get here. And when you feel that joy, when you see all of your accomplishments coming through after all that hard work, it means so much. So for me, it was just a brilliant feeling. Wonderful.
Looking ahead, what comes next for you after Rio?
Well, I'm going to do one more season after Rio. And then I've already said I want to try to play football. So I think I might try to do that. I don't know how good that will be, but we'll see.
And a little bit of cricket apparently later on this afternoon.
Yeah.
One last question. Life for you away from the track is a different form of track. You're kind of a music DJ kind of guy. What's this passion about?
Well, I'm really into music. Over the years, I've always danced, and I used to go to the clubs a lot, and then I really got into DJing. So I bought all the equipment, so I practice at home when I have time off. And when I go to the club sometimes, if I do a DJ, I just spin a little bit just for fun. So I've just really been into music. It's just been a part of my life, and I really enjoy dancing and just having fun.
Are you good at it?
Yes.
Of course. Who am I asking, right? Is he going to say yes so I could improve?
There's always room for improvement in every way, but I'm good.
We also met up with Rajiv Mehta, the CEO of Puma, and asked him what's so special about these new shoes.
So you mentioned that Puma is a different brand and it may help runners. So tell us how the technology in Puma shoes is different from other shoes and which helps in runners becoming better runners.
So I think the Mobium shoe that we just launched with Usain today, I think that shoe helps you take off faster. It's for midfoot and forefoot strikers. So when you look at the shoe, it has got a elastic band in its sole. It also expands along with your foot, so it doesn't constrict your foot. And once it expands, it gives you that space. So I think as a runner, it helps you shave a few precious seconds when you're a distance runner or a fast runner. So I think that's how we've been innovative. It also looks good. It's a cool looking shoe. So keeps you looking cool as well.
Call now troublemakers for danger, risk, and potential fugitive status. Will be discouraged.
Impatience rewarded. Impossible odds. Inevitable.
Hostility. Probable.
Anonymity. Unlikely.
Call out those who follow their instincts, because we're not our most primal. We are forever faster.
In other interviews, Usain Bolt talked about other aspects of his life, like what motivated Usain Bolt and helped him through his failures.
For me, it's just my family at first. I started off to take care of my family. I really wanted to make my mom, my dad live happy and comfortable, because they really put a lot out for me when I was young, growing up, really to make sure I went to school, got a good education and everything. So that's my motivation, to really give back to my parents. I work hard to make them live comfortable at the end of the day. My coach, the first thing he taught me was that you gotta learn to lose before you learn to win. So that was very important for me. Yeah, definitely. That was the first thing he actually told me, and that kind of made me who I am today, really.
Did Usain Bolt ever think of quitting? How was he able to tackle it?
Yeah, I've been through a lot. First Olympics I went to, I didn't make it past the heats, actually. And I was injured that year. I got injured the other year, but it was at the end of the season, and from then on I kind of worked my way up the ladder. Then it was hard for me, because I really wanted to please everybody. I wanted to really make sure everybody was happy, and then it was hard, and it's hard to please everybody. But I found out you can't please everybody later, so. But then it was hard, and I kind of went through a rough time dealing with it, because I was getting injured. Every time I started running good, I was falling back, so it was hard, and especially when you're young and everybody's saying all kind of stuff about you, it's kind of hard, but I got through it, and then I kind of just worked my way up.
How does Usain Bolt's coach help Usain Bolt win?
Well, as he said, when we started out, I'm a realist, and I look at the situation that, look, we're embarking on a project, and we can succeed, we can fail. So once we are aware, because sometimes you tend to only look on one side, and if you prepare yourself for the eventualities, you tend to deal better with them when you are confronted with it. So we looked at what we were facing, and we bonded together, and we I convinced him that, look, we are not going to depend on the supporters, the media, or anybody for our inward strength and motivation. We've got to provide our own. And on that rock, we will build. And who want to come along when it's successful, fine. If we are down, we don't have to worry because we are not depending on them to cheer us up. So we got down and we did what we had to do. First, we had to confront what was causing the injuries, etc. And I sat down, showed him that it's going to be hard work, it's going to be painful. You got to face the reality if you're going to make the breakthrough. So many nights when he's doing the work to strengthen the various areas and so on, and the pain is there, he looked at coach and he knows that, let's go, because we knew that we were going to be faced with that. You tend to be far more successful when you prepare yourself for both success and failure. A lot of coaches tend to tell athletes only about success, but if you blind your eye when confronted with the rough times, then it's going to take you under. But if you are prepared for it, then you'll be able to confront it, see what is wrong. The main thing is not to get depressed, but to dig deep in your consciousness. And if you have the conviction that you are equal to the task, you'll find the solution rather than give in.
Did Usain Bolt ever want to give up?
Well, say yes, because it was really hard, because walking on in the streets, people saying things and saying that you give up, you ain't good no more. Yeah, it kind of was hard for me. But as I said, when I joined them, it was much easier because we sat down, we had a long meeting before we actually started off. Yeah. I explained what we're going to work towards and what we need to do to get there. So after I sat down and talked to him, it kind of got easier because he explained to me how the public is and the media and everybody. So we kind of got that out the way, and then after that it was pretty much easier. Even when I got injured, people kept saying things about me. It didn't really matter because, as he said, we rely on our strength to take us through, really. On the race, we kind of analyzed it, and the main thing was I was weak, and personally, I don't like going to the gym, so then we figured out that I need to work on strength work, and then I would be much better. So,
but what was important was to educate him about the journey, not so much the destination, but the journey, because the journey is as important, or even more so important, than the destination. Because if you're on the wrong road journey, you're going to end up in the wrong destination. We had to determine what the journey would be and how we'd go about it.
How does Usain Bolt's coach train the mind to achieve results with the body?
Well, the mind is crucial. I am philosophical in my whole makeup. I looked at the body, and my philosophy is that the mind is the most powerful instrument. And if the mind is not mastered and functioning in the proper direction, then everything else is going to be out of whack, because it's the mind that directs and determines everything. Mm-hmm. And so my program is holistic. We work on the mind, we work on the body, because it's no good to have a fit body and an unfit mind, or vice versa. Mm. So we work hand in hand. And it's the mind in most times is going to take the body through the tough times. And sometimes when the body quits and the mind is still functioning, you can get there.
Thanks, Usain Bolt and Puma. And as always, Health Tips is brought to you by Atharva Life Sciences Consulting, the leading life sciences market research consulting firm. Want to know anything about biotechnology or pharma or agriculture or fisheries? Talk to the leaders. Talk to Atharva Life Sciences. They deliver the best market research reports available. To know more, go to www.atharvalife.com. That's ATHARVALIFE. Or call 9180-2353-0016. See you next time. Stay healthy. Keep moving.
A new world record for you. is flying. The world belongs to Bolt. Berlin belongs to Bolt. 9.58. Stunning. Absolutely. They are adjectives which are inadequate to describe this man. He is brilliant beyond compare. We have seen nothing like this ever, ever. He writes his own history with every stride that he takes.
And Steve was saying about this guy, the defending champion, Tyson Gay, 9.71 seconds. That is a new American national record.